This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to look in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, get that, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. He was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. And then here's what really jumped out at me in Timothy. This is what's going to cause me to preach 3 or 4 weeks. It's a little phrase in this that's going to cause me to preach 3 or 4 weeks over the next, don't get scared, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Look, I exhort therefore, get this, first of all, that's it. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I want you to get that, folks, first of all. Not second, not third, not fourth, but get this, first of all. There's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. Why didn't he put that in the book of Malachi? Why didn't he put it in the book of Revelation? Why did he start out, get this, in the beginning, God? It's a message for us. We ought to always start out with, in the beginning, God. We ought to always start out with God first. We ought to always start out with pray first. In the beginning, God. Let's pray. Lord, I bow my head and I pray today that you would anoint these lips of clay. And God, for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about pray first. I read a story one time about a church that was really struggling. They were struggling in their attendance. They were struggling with their programs. They were struggling with their finances. People were leaving the church. It just was not going well. And the pastor did something. He sent an email to every one of his deacons. And he said, we've got to meet. And they met. And they went into the sanctuary. And the pastor said to those deacons, he started reading the stats of how everything had gone down. And then he said to those men, men, we need to pray. And one of the deacons spoke up and said these words, my God, has it come to that? My God, has it come to that? But you know, reality is, folks, prayer ought to be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer ought to be our first response. You say, well, I'm going to go somewhere. No, no. You need to pray about whether or not you're going somewhere. I'm going to move my child into this school. No, you need to pray first. I'm going to make this decision. No, no, no. You need to pray first. I'm going to give somebody a piece of my mind. No, no, no. You need to pray first. I'm going to make this investment. No, no, no. You need to pray first. I think I'm going to buy a new car. No, 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 no. You need to pray first. There's a message that God wants to get to us, ladies and gentlemen, and that message is pray first. You say, well, I'm working everything out. No, 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 no. You don't need to work everything out. You need to simply pray first. Because I want you to understand, folks, explanation comes on the other side of obedience. I don't know that I've ever said that, but that's very good. Explanation comes on the other side of obedience. That is, you pray first and you follow what God wants you to do. Now, when I read that scripture in 1 Timothy, it really jumped out at me. And when he said, first of all, supplications. Well, what is supplications? That's intense personal needs. He said, let me tell you that. You got intense personal needs? First of all, you pray. You got intense personal needs. You say, I need to see a counselor. No, before you need to see the counselor, you need to pray. First of all, but he didn't stop with supplications. He said, prayers. What is prayers, folks? Prayers is the sincere desire of the heart. Prayer has nothing to do with how loud you pray or how soft you pray. Prayer has nothing to do with how emotional you are. Prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. God connects with the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God's not looking on the outward appearance. God is looking on your heart. Prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. But not only supplication, not only prayer, but notice what the Bible says, intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is praying on the behalf of someone else. Praying on the behalf of someone else. That's interceding for them. And not only intercession, but giving thanks. What is giving thanks? Giving thanks, ladies and gentlemen, is just expressing gratitude to God. It's not being grumbly hateful. It's being humbly grateful. It's just giving thanks to God. Now, the story I want to talk to you about today is found in Acts chapter 12. And there's three simple things, just three simple things that I want you to see in this text. The first thing I want you to see is this. God is looking. God is looking. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, let me explain. We're studying about a man by the name of Herod. And let me give you some of King Herod's background. He had John the Baptist beheaded. Not only was John the Baptist beheaded, he had Christ crucified. John the Baptist beheaded. Christ crucified. James killed with a sword, the half-brother of our Lord. And he realized that this pleased the Jews. And this is what he did. He put Peter in prison. Now, I've often thought about it. When I thought about those incidents, it must have seemed like all hope was gone. Get real, John had been beheaded. Jesus crucified. James killed with a sword. And then here Peter, there's not a bit of doubt in my mind. Peter thought, well, I know what awaits me. All hope is gone. For a second it looked that way. But I want you to know something, folks. In Peter's lowest time in prison, God was looking. In Peter's lowest, see folks, when we go through the lowest times of life, sometimes we wonder, does anybody care? But I want you to know something. God cares, and God is watching, and God is looking, and God is going to take care of you. Amen? God is looking. When you're in the lowest times of life, I want you to know, when you say, he's not watching, oh yes, he is. He's not only watching, he's looking. He's intently focusing on what you're going through. A Catholic school had some Catholic nuns, and they was having a picnic, and the Catholic nuns at this school, they put a bunch of apples on one end of the table, and then they put a sign, and this is what the sign said. Take only one apple, because God is watching. Take only one apple, because God is watching. But on the other end of the table, they had delicious cookies. And a little boy found a sign, and he wrote on the sign, eat all the cookies you want because God is watching the apples. But see, what he didn't understand is Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He didn't understand that 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is committed or perfect toward him. See, he didn't understand, according to the precious word of God, if a sparrow falls to the ground in Matthew 10:29, God sees that sparrow that falls to the ground. Let me tell you something, folks. If God sees a little sparrow that falls to the ground, he sees you and he cares about what you're going through. And God is looking, even when you're in the lowest parts of life. I just want to give you some good news. God is looking. And let me say something. Peter never got over this. See, he was in prison, but he never got over the fact that God was watching over him when he was in prison. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because later he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against all them that do evil. Here's what I want you to see, folks. Get this. God is looking, but it gets tweeter and tweeter. Yeah, it gets tweeter and tweeter, and it's going to later turn to tugger. But get this. God is not only looking, but God is listening. Yeah, you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you got to realize prayer was made without ceasing by the church. And according to verses 6 and 7, God miraculously delivered Peter from that prison. See, I knew I wanted to preach 3 or 4 weeks on this pray first. I've even ordered wristbands, and I simply want them to say, pray first. They didn't get here in time, but I wanted to get them here. They'll be here next week. So I want all of you to come back. I'll give you one. It simply says, pray first. See, you don't need a bunch of trinkets around you. You need a bunch of thinkets around you. You need things around you that's going to cause you to think, not trink. And here's what I'm saying. You say, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. I've been in church a lot of years, but I really don't know how to pray. And Pastor, I got to be honest with you. If you ask me to come up to that platform right now and stand behind that podium and pray, my heart would fall to my feet. Pastor, I just couldn't do it. I just wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to handle it. But let me say, if you say, I really don't know how to pray, you're in good company. You say, you got to be kidding. That makes me feel better. You're in good company if you really don't know how to pray. Because the greatest Christian ever to live other than Jesus Christ was the great Apostle Paul. And you know what the great Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 26? He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Get real, folks. That's what the greatest Christian who ever lived said. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Now think about these 12 guys, folks, that traveled with Jesus. They had meals with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They taught with Jesus. I mean, for 3 years, they literally went to bed together. They all woke up together. I mean, they just traveled. They just traveled Israel. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they didn't say, teach us how to preach. They didn't say, we need to learn how to exegete scripture. We need to learn how to lead people in worship. They didn't say that. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to build a church. Lord, teach us about church growth. Lord, teach us this. They said, Lord, would you just teach us how to pray? I know we've been with you a long time, but God, would you just teach us how to pray? We just really want to learn how to pray. And so, folks, I hope over the next few weeks, I really believe that if I can help people with their prayer life and help me with my prayer life, it'd be the greatest thing I could do for you in 2023. Because God does nothing but my prayer and everything with it. Without prayer, we don't have a prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Three little things I want you to see. Three little things. God hears simple prayers. God hears simple prayers. You know what he said, folks? He said in Matthew 6 and 7, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. What was he saying? He's saying it's okay to keep it simple. Because you know what God said in Matthew 7:11? He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I'm telling you, folks, God responds just to simple prayers. It don't have to be complicated. Talk to him like you would your best friend, because he is your best friend. Because God hears simple prayers. I remember one time I was at this conference and I was seated in the congregation, and there was a man beside me, and we were talking, we were just talking. He was just talking, I was just talking. He seemed normal, I hope I seem normal. And then they said, at this time, so-and-so is going to come and pray. And lo and behold, it was him. And he came to the platform. And this just, I was a young Christian, but this just blew my mind away. Once he stood up behind the platform, his voice magically changed. I thought, that's amazing. He sounded normal here, but he sounds different up there. And he said, shall we pray? I thought, yeah, let's go at it. And then he said these words. He said, O thou great potentate, setting yonder in the heavens, upon whose thrones angels cast their golden crowns and cry, holy, 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 we beseech thee with petitions of acquisitions. And I thought, nobody talks to their daddy like that. Nobody talks to their father like that. Folks, he's our heavenly father. He's our heavenly father. And I wish some of these guys would realize that God's not an Englishman, amen? Can you imagine Savannah Abigail? Savannah Abigail is about 4 years old. And I remember this used to happen. Savannah Abigail would be about 4 years old, and I would come in from work. Can you imagine one day I came in from work, and Savannah Abigail said, 4 years old, oh, thou great pastor. Coming in from sermon preparation. We beseech thee, can we go get a pizza? That never happened. God bear me record, I'll tell you what did happen. I'd walk in that door, and that little girl said, Dada. I'd say, yes, baby. She'd say, we go get pizza? And I'd say, did your mother put you up to that? And she would say, yes, she did. We get pizza. All I'm trying to say, folks, is God, and we went and got the pizza. God hears simple prayers. I'll tell you something else that's good. God not only hears simple prayers, but God hears short prayers. You said, Pastor Benny, does God hear? Oh, I'll tell you, I can prove it from the Bible that God hears short prayers. The reason why I can prove it from the Bible, you can look at Peter. Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 and 31, Peter was drowning. I mean, trying to walk on the water, and I'm not giving him a hard time. As far as I know, he still holds the record for walking on water. Amen? I've often said I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. I admire people get out of the boat, amen? The rest of those guys just stayed in the boat. I admire some. Listen, folks, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'd rather try and fail as fail to try. Bless God, I'm not staying in the boat. I'm not living my life and get to the end of my life and say I stayed in the boat, amen? I want to get out of the boat, and I want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he merits it. He merits it. But he got his eyes off the Lord. Let me tell you, every time, folks, if you'll get your eyes off the Lord, you'll get in trouble. Every time, if you'll just keep your, hey, listen, he was walking on the water. Somebody said, well, Pastor, he stepped out on the water. No, he didn't. He just stepped out on the Word of God. And when he stepped out on the Word of God, everything was okay. But when he got his eyes on the circumstances around him, that's when he failed. And he said, Lord, save me. Pretty brief prayer. Pretty brief. And the Lord took his hand and he saved him. Don't tell me God don't hear short prayers. I can tell you, there was a thief on the cross one time. And he looked over at the Lord. He said, Lord, when you come into thy kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, can we just praise him that he hears short prayers? Help me! Help me! And I'm glad he does. Now get this. He hears simple prayers. He hears short prayers. But get this. He hears sustained prayers. What do you mean, preacher, sustained prayers? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means pray repeatedly and often. Smith Wigglesworth said these words. He said, I never prayed longer than 20 minutes. But get this. He said, I never went longer than 20 minutes without prayer. D.L. Moody said, I never prayed long prayers, but I never went long without prayer. Daniel said in Daniel 6 and 10, he said, three times a day I just got down on my knees. What? Three times a day I just prayed. What was he saying? I just sustained prayer. What are you talking about, Pastor? Here's what I'm talking about. You're on the phone with somebody and you hang up. That's a wonderful reminder as you hang up. God bless that person today. God meet their need. You know exactly what they need, what they're going through. God, would you bless them? You're a student, you're at school, and that old bell rings. That's a wonderful reminder. That's a prayer bell. I want to pray for my friend. I want to pray for this situation. I want to pray for my teacher. I want to pray for this circumstance. You're a housewife or a house husband. And you're folding those clothes up. And you're folding Johnny's pants. That's a wonderful time to say, I'm going to just pray for Johnny right now. I'm ironing my husband's shirt, or maybe the husband's ironing the wife's blouse. I don't know, but it's a wonderful opportunity to say, it's a good reminder that I'm just going to pray for him. You say, get this, Pastor. Look here. Does God answer our prayers? I promise you he does. I promise you he answers our prayers. You said, Pastor, I don't know if God's answered my prayer. I give you my word that God's answering your prayers. But see, he answers in four ways. Sometimes God answers direct. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Isaiah 65 and 24. Just as soon as it comes from your heart, God answers. Just like Peter when he said, Lord, help me, God immediately. Sometimes God just answers, folks, and it's so quick and it's so direct. But sometimes, folks, he answers, but it's not direct. It's delayed. What do you mean, delayed? I'm talking about the timing's not right. Sometimes the only difference between salad and trash is timing. Amen? So sometimes the timing, but look, sometimes I want you to understand it's direct, sometimes it's delayed, but look, sometimes it's different. See, sometimes when we pray, God doesn't give us exactly what we wanted because God's got something better in mind. Yes, God's got something better in mind. You remember in the Bible when Mary and Martha, they got frustrated at Jesus and they said, Jesus, we're really torqued at you because our brother Lazarus has died. And if you had just been here, it's taken you 4 days to get here. If you'd just been here, you could have healed him and still be alive. See, they wanted a healing. They wanted a healing, but Jesus wanted to do a resurrection, folks. You say, Pastor, why didn't that relationship work out? Because God had something better in mind. Why didn't that situation work out? Because God had something better in mind. And let me tell you something. Sometimes God answers, and the answer is denied. What do you mean denied? Look, no is an answer too. No is an answer too. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, said, I am so glad that God didn't answer every prayer the way I wanted him to answer it. Because Ruth Graham said, I would have married the wrong man 3 different times. Sometimes God says no. See, get this, folks, and I'm almost done. God is looking. God is listening. But get this, God is leading. God is leading. You say, what I'm trying to get you, when you can't see it, God is working. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing. Look what verse 7 says. Get this, folks. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Look. And a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Look. And the chains fell off of his hands. But look. The angel said unto him, gird thyself, put your sandals on, put your garments on, and follow me. Get this. Get this, folks. God, get this. God let a light shine in that prison. God let those chains miraculously fall off of him. But God said, wait, you put your sandals on, big boy. You put your coat on. You know what that tells me? God's got a part and you've got a part. Without God, you cannot. But without us, he will not. Some of us, folks, we got to put our sandals on. Some of us got to put our coat on. Because we got a part too. That's why we pray first. Pray first. And then the miraculous happens. Now look what verse 10 says. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth out of the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. I read that and I said, everybody I know has got an iron gate. Everybody I know, every one of you, I'm not an anthropologist, but every one of you listening to me right now have an iron gate. Mothers are only as happy as the saddest child. Everybody listening to me has got an iron gate that you can't open. But let me tell you something, he can. Let me tell you something, he can. He can. He can open that iron gate, that circumstance in your life. I was reading this week the book of Ezra. And Ezra was a leader in the Old Testament, and he got so discouraged because his people were turning to the pagan tribes and turning to the pagan gods and forming relationships with the pagan tribes and the pagan gods. And this man Ezra chapter 9 verse 3 said this, folks. He said, I got to the point, get this. Now this is Old Testament. He said, I wanted to pull my hair out. Have you ever been there? You said, Pastor Benny, I just wanted to pull my hair out. Just wanted to pull my hair out. And he said, I reached that point. I just wanted to pull my hair out. But he said, I did something. When you get to the point you feel like you just want to pull your hair out, what do I need to do, Pastor Benny? Well, look what it says. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness and rent my garment and my mantle. Look. And I fell on my knees. What do you need to do when you feel like you want to pull your hair out? Get down on your knees. Because when you get down on your knees, ladies and gentlemen, look what happens in Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. the people repented and turned back to God. When you feel like you want to pull your hair out, don't pull your hair out. Just get down on your knees, because here's what I want you to know. When it seems like God's not working, God is working. When it seems like nothing's happening, God is happening. Because God is not only looking, God is not only listening, but God is leading, ladies and gentlemen, and God is working. Let me tell you one true story that's worth the price of admission. I've never told this story in all my preaching. I read this story and it's beautiful, and I've never told it. It's worth coming to church today. It's a story about David Livingston. David Livingston was a missionary to Assam, Africa. David Livingston had a passion to take the gospel to places that he had never been before. So we went to Assam, Africa, which was known for its headhunters. It was known for headhunters and killing anybody that they came in contact with. And David Livingston said one night, he and a few of his men were in camp, and a man came up to him and said, "I want you to know something. You're surrounded by the headhunters. And right before dawn, when it's the darkest, they're going to kill you." And David Livingston said, "I didn't know what to do." But he said, "I just started praying. I didn't know what to do, but I prayed." And he said, "The morning sun arose, and we were still alive." And he said, "One year later, I heard that that tribe came to faith in Jesus Christ." And he said, I saw the chief, and I said to the chief, "Were you all planning to kill us on that night?" And the chief said, "We definitely were." And David Livingston said, "Well, why didn't you?" What documented story, folks? "Why didn't you kill us on that night?" He said, "Oh, we came to kill you." But he said, "When we got to your camp was surrounded by 47 warriors. Those warriors had a sword in one hand and a light in the other hand. And we knew we were no match for those 47 warriors. We knew we were no match for those 47 warriors. Tell me God's not good." David Livingston said, three years later, I was in a church in Scotland. And he said, "I told the story. And after the story was over, a man walked up to me. And he said, 'Missionary Livingston, I'm the men's leader here in our church.' He said, 'Here's my prayer journal that I've been keeping for years.'" David Livingston said, "That's neat." He said, "I want you to know something, David Livingston. What date did that incident happen?" He said, "It happened on January the 14th, 1856. And the man said, "On January the 14th, 1856, our men's group met. And God placed on my heart, tonight, men, we don't need to study the Bible. God placed on my heart, tonight, we need to gather in this altar and we need to pray for the safety of David Livingston." And he said, "Every man has signed the journal that gathered in the altar that night, because David Livingston, there was 47 of us men. There was 47 of us men who met here and prayed for you. You hear me? I don't know what you're going through, but I know God is looking. And I know that God is listening. And I know that God is leading. And God is working."
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.